Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be here with you tonight. And I don't know about you, but I have been blessed already tonight. And it's great to be here and to finish up our missionary day and have the opportunity of sharing with you all tonight. First of all, I want to thank the Taylor County Camp Meeting for the invitation to come. This is our first time to be here, and it's been a real blessing. I don't know who's in charge of the dining hall, but it has been wonderful. And we've been well taken care of, and we appreciate that. Now, if you happen to have a brochure of the Taylor County Camp Meeting for this year, you'll notice that there's a missionary couple there, Brad and Mary Kay Phillips, that were on the brochure. We are not them. I think probably some of you have met them. And actually, Betsy and I had the privilege of serving with Brad and Mary Kay for 10 years in Honduras, Central America. Brad is about my height, pretty close to my age, has glasses, usually a mustache or a little bit of a beard going. And I can't tell you how many times in Catacamas, Honduras, somebody has called me Brad or him Lynn. So if you have called me Brad this week or have thought I was Brad, all is forgiven, and we're good. But as it is our first time here, it's been a great time, and we have appreciated the opportunity of being here with y'all this week. Well, maybe some of you are familiar with the story of Sir Christopher Wren, a famous and well-known mathematician from England, and also a great architect. And back in the 1600s, Sir Christopher Wren drew up and designed the plans for St. Paul's Cathedral in London, England. They began work on that cathedral in 1675, and it took them 35 years to finish that cathedral. And one day in the middle of that building, of that cathedral, Sir Christopher Wren was walking through and inspecting that construction site, and he asked one worker over here what he was doing. And that worker responded that he was cutting a large rock to help build a wall on that cathedral. A little further on, Sir Christopher Wren asked another worker what he was doing, and he said, "I'm sawing a timber as we prepare to build this big doorway." And then Christopher Wren entered the cathedral on the inside, and he saw a worker way up in the rafters working up there all by himself. And he called up to that worker and said, "What are you doing up there?" And that worker responded, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren construct this magnificent cathedral." And it was that third response that Christopher Wren liked the best, because that worker had a picture, had a vision of the big picture. It didn't matter if his job was small, was insignificant, was mundane, but he had a part in helping to construct, to build that cathedral. And as Betsy and I have been serving in Latin America over the last 14, 15 years, we have had a lot of different ministry tasks and responsibilities and ministries. But we have been doing it all for the privilege and for the joy of having a part of building up the body of Christ in Latin America for the glory of God.
Our ministry has involved building up the body of Christ in many different ways. And to do that, we have obviously had to work on our cross-cultural communication skills. And honestly, that started back when we were dating, because I grew up here in Georgia, but Len grew up in New Jersey. I know he doesn't sound like it anymore, but he's been converted. And I remember the first time I went to New Jersey to meet Len's family and friends up there, the thing that most people said to me was, "Say something Southern. Say something Southern." Well, having been raised in Athens, Georgia, the best response to that is, "Go Dawgs." I hope I didn't offend anybody, Doug. I did. But we have worked on those cross-cultural communication skills. First, when we left in 1993 with a four-week-old baby to go to language school in Costa Rica. From there, we went on to serve in Salta, Argentina. And it was during that time that the Lord blessed us with our second daughter, Abby. And then we went from there. We felt the Lord moving us to the country of Honduras. In 1996, we arrived there and began ministering at the El Sembrador Bible Institute on the campus of Escuela Sembrador. I know many of you are familiar with that ministry. And there we were involved in the teaching and training of pastors at the Bible Institute. And one couple especially comes to mind, Donnie Pineda and Carmen de Amaya. They arrived there in 1999 to study for 3 years to train for full-time Christian service. And Donnie, they came as a boyfriend and girlfriend. They were from the same hometown, and they came. And we all endured 3 years of the trials and tribulations of their dating relationship. And we all survived. They graduated in November of 2001, and in December of 2001, they were married. We had the privilege of taking part in their wedding back in their small hometown. And then we saw them go off as associate pastors to Tegucigalpa, the capital city of Honduras. We came home on our homeland ministry assignment during that time. And when we returned to Honduras, the Lord led us to move our ministries from the El Sembrador Bible Institute out to western Honduras, to the department of Intibucá, to La Esperanza. And would you believe that in that time, Dani and Carminda had been assigned to be the pastors of the local church there in La Esperanza? I just cannot tell you what a blessing it was for us to go and have our former students become our pastors. For us to come and work alongside them, to support them and encourage them in ministry, to see the Lord just developing their gifts and graces more and more each day. And we worked there in theological education by extension, reaching the whole department of Intibucá, encouraging our pastors to receive more training, watching Dani and Carmen to receive more training with a cooperative agreement with the Nazarenes. As a matter of fact, we heard from Dani just a week or so ago, and he just defended his thesis to get his university degree in theology. But part of that is how the Lord began to create in us this, what I termed a holy discontent. A sense that he was uprooting us from what we had known and loved. That he was leading us on to something else. And believe me, it was not easy to leave Honduras. You know, some people on the mission field, they get homesick for fried chicken, you know, if you grew up in Georgia. But I get homesick for rice and beans and tortillas from Honduras. And yet we knew that it was the time for us to leave, that the Lord had grown and matured the church there in Honduras to an extent where we felt it was time for us to move on. That there were many leaders like Dani and Carminda and so many others that the Lord had prepared and equipped that they could stay and build up the body of Christ there. And so it was in 2006 that we moved our family, Anna and Abby and our son Luke, to Santa Cruz, Bolivia to begin a new ministry there.
Well, as Betsy said, we arrived in Santa Cruz, Bolivia in August of 2006, and we immediately took up some new tasks, some new ministries, and some new responsibilities to take a part in building up the body of Christ. And when we arrived in Santa Cruz 2 years ago, I immediately began to take a part on the faculty of the Bolivian Evangelical University there in the city of Santa Cruz. Some of you may be familiar with the Bolivian Evangelical University, founded back in 1983 by Meredith Shefflin, a grand missionary lady who has served over 50 years in Bolivia. Today, the Bolivian Evangelical University is 25 years old. Approximately, it has 1,600 students studying in over 16 majors or major areas of study. And the university continues to have as its mission and as its vision the goal of providing a quality Christian and a quality private Christian education at the university level. The university continues to strive to maintain a university education where it will be a place where lives will be changed, where professionals will be trained with excellence, where their lives will be changed, and where they will then go out to change Bolivia and to change Latin America. Another task and responsibility that I soon received in Bolivia was also to join the staff at the Berea Bible Seminary, which also is there in Santa Cruz. And the seminary continues to have a mission of preparing pastors and lay pastors and Christian workers for the growing churches, not only in Santa Cruz, but throughout Bolivia. And one of the exciting things that has happened in the last 6 months at the seminary has been a vision which has come out of the church, which has come out of the seminary itself, to begin to develop some satellite centers, not only in Bolivia, but also in all of the southern cone of South America, in Peru, in Argentina, in Paraguay, where World Gospel Mission is at work today, in order to extend the reach, in order to extend the influence of the seminary and pastoral and lay pastor training throughout that part of South America.
During the time that we were in Honduras, Len and I were involved in directing and teaching at the Bible Institute. We were working with young people, college age and older. But when we got to Santa Cruz, the Lord opened a new door for me, and I became the elementary school chaplain at the Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center. That was a real stretch for me to begin to preach and minister to children from pre-K through sixth grade. But it was such a joy to minister to them, to bring their weekly chapels, to spend time with them, to minister to them and their families. The Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center is a school, kindergarten through 12th grade, where our three children have been enrolled for the last 2 years. Last year, I believe there were about 240 students in the school. And 51% of those are missionary kids, not just World Gospel Mission missionaries, but South American Mission, New Tribes Mission, Avant Ministries. There's a number of Mennonite missions from Canada that are there. And the other 49% come from Santa Cruz, Bolivians. And the school has a tremendous impact on reaching the Santa Cruz Society for Christ, changing the hearts and lives of these kids. We had a spiritual emphasis week this past spring where I shared every day in chapel with these kids. And the first day, I decided to go for the gold the very first day. And I preached on John 3:16, and I preached the gospel to them. And I was with the first, second, and third graders that day. And as I came to the end of the message, and I said, if any of you here have never made that commitment to Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it now. And before I could even get the words on my mouth, a little boy, Lukey, in the first grade, jumped up and he raised his hand, which you're supposed to do in school, right? He raised his hand. He said, I haven't done it. I want to do it. Can I do it? And about 10 more kids followed him. And they all came up and we knelt together at the platform and we prayed together. And they all prayed to commit their lives to the Lord. And when we finished praying, I looked at them and I quietly said, okay, are you ready to go sit down? And another little girl looked at me and she said, sit down. I feel like dancing. And I said, praise the Lord. But their hearts are so open and so tender, and that the Lord can take them at a young age and transform and mold them and make them into godly young men and women who are going to impact their world. And so that is the ministry I've been involved in. But there was still a place in my heart for working with older students, with college age. And so we had been involved in a local church that was within walking distance of our house. And Len was working with the adults in Sunday school. And the pastor came one Saturday afternoon and he said, I want to know if you can work with the youth, with this college-age Sunday school class, starting tomorrow, of course. I said, I would love to. And so the Lord opened that door. He granted me the desires of my heart to work with that age group, with young men and women who, and you know what? They're all in college. They're all college students, which is what I had been used to working with. And so many of them have at least one, if not both, parents who have left the country of Bolivia and have gone to Spain to look for work. When we were in Honduras, parents were leaving their kids and going to the States. In Bolivia, they leave and they go to Spain. And so the Lord allowed us to not only minister to them, to share the Word of God, to teach and to mold, but to serve as parents to these kids who needed somebody at this time in their lives. So these are the ministries the Lord has opened for us in the country of Bolivia.
Well, one other unexpected task or avenue of service, way that we could help build up the body of Christ in Bolivia, came through flood relief. You may have seen in your news here in the States, the last 2 years, in 2007 and early 2008, Bolivia received torrential rains and received massive flooding throughout the country. And one of our fellow missionaries, Donna Brown, began to coordinate flood relief in several areas of Bolivia. And I had the opportunity of making a trip up to the northeastern town of Trinidad to take relief supplies. And I also had the opportunity of making several trips to a town about an hour outside of Santa Cruz, a little tiny village that had been just totally devastated by floods and destruction of houses and crops and possessions. And we had the opportunity through World Gospel Mission of purchasing food staples, tarps, collecting clothes, and making several trips to this little village of Guaracal. And I remember that on the first trip that we made to this little village, we were there for several hours distributing the things, the food, the things we had purchased and taken. And there was one little elderly lady there who went up to Donna towards the end of our time, and she said, "We thought God had forgotten us. We thought God had forgotten us." And Donna gave that little elderly lady a big hug, and she said, "That is why we are here, because God loves you and we love you." And that's really what our missionary work is about sharing the love of Jesus, whether it's in the classroom, at the university, whether it's in the Sunday school room at church, or whether it's distributing aid due to the floods. Our desire is to share the love of Jesus and help build up the body of Christ.
As you can see, our theme has been building up the body of Christ. That comes from Ephesians chapter 4. If you look at the book of Ephesians, Paul begins his letter to the Ephesians by praising God for the blessings that he has given us, for the blessings of being chosen and adopted as his children. And he prays that the Ephesians might be keenly aware of the hope that God has called them to, the hope that he has given them in Jesus and the incomparably great power that is available to them, that is at work in them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In this first chapter in Ephesians, many times, Paul says, three times he emphasizes that God's plan and purpose in giving them this redemption is for the praise of his glory, that they might be for the praise of his glory. Paul goes on then in Ephesians chapter 2 and in chapter 3 as well, to remind them that they have been saved by grace, not by works. He reminds them, as both Jewish and Gentile believers, that they have done nothing to earn this salvation on their own, that it is simply a gift of God by grace. And then he tells them that they are now fellow citizens, that they are members of one household, part of the body of Christ, God's household, and that they can become one. And he concludes this chapter 3 by praying a marvelous prayer for the Ephesians, that God will fill them completely with his strength, with his power, and the knowledge of his love. And he reminds them that God can take two distinctly different groups of people, like the Jews and the Gentiles, and because of what he has done through Jesus Christ, he can make them one. He can make them one. And with that in mind, Paul continues to urge them to keep this unity. He says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, to be humble and gentle, to be patient, to bear with one another in love, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit." And he tells them that each one can do that, that though each one has been given individual and very distinct and unique gifts and graces, that it is all for one purpose: to build up the body of Christ. Bolivia is a country that is deeply divided, not only by the Andes Mountains, but in our 2 years there, we have seen one conflict, one confrontation after another. People are there, and there have been deaths and injuries as deep-rooted prejudices and ethnic and racial tensions have surfaced, and as the government and opposition parties have been in conflict. Bolivia is a country that needs to know that only through Jesus Christ can we be one.
As we close tonight, I'd like to go back to the little village of Guaracal, where I had the opportunity of making several trips to deliver relief aid and relief supplies. And I already told you about the little lady who said that she thought that God had forgotten them. Well, as we were leaving Guaracal, after delivering supplies on one of those trips that we made, this same little lady had a question for us, myself and Donna and the other missionaries who had gone to deliver the aid. And her question was simple. It was simply, will you come back? Will you come back and share the Word of God with us? Will you come back? I want you to know that there are some questions that are kind of easy to ignore, kind of easy to forget, kind of easy to sweep under the rug and just try to forget about them. But that was not one of those questions. Will you come back and will you share the Word of God with us? But you know, I think that that question was not simply for me or us or the other missionaries, but that question was for all of us, I think. Will we go back or will we go? Perhaps there are some young people here tonight who have been hearing the Lord speak to your hearts, who the Lord is calling, who the Lord is asking, will you go and will you take my love? Will you go and will you share my love with a needy world and take part in building up the body of Christ? As Paul says in Ephesians, the Holy Spirit has given us all gifts and abilities. And he just asks for our obedience to say, yes, Lord, yes, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to give. Right now in Bolivia, there's an urgent need for a field treasurer, somebody who has some experience in accounting or bookkeeping. Perhaps the Lord is laying that on your heart. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. But I can take care of the books. And the Lord can use you. Perhaps there are other people who the Lord has blessed with resources. Perhaps the windows of heaven have been opened in your life, in your family, in your business. And the Lord is asking you to give, to send others, so that the body of Christ can be built up, that the love of Christ can be shared with the world in need. And perhaps there are others here tonight who God is calling to take on a commitment to intercession, not just once in a while, but a serious commitment to intercede and to pray for missions and missions work, and that the body of Christ can be built up around the world. And I'm convinced that as we go together and as we share together and as we build together, I'm convinced that God's blessing will be upon us. I'm convinced that God's joy will fill our hearts as we labor together building up the body of Christ. I've asked our music team to come and to play for us tonight. And tonight I'd like to open up the altar. We've heard a tremendous testimony from Lebanon and the Middle East tonight. We've heard this morning about the work in the Ukraine and Papua New Guinea, and this evening about the work and some of the needs in Latin America and Bolivia. And I am convinced that the Lord is calling us to take a part. There's no insignificant part. There's no job too small. There's no job too big, but we all need to be a part of having a task, a role, a part in building up the body of Christ. And so tonight I want to open up the altar, and if the Lord is speaking to you and to your heart, come, would you come?